On this Memorial Day weekend, in addition to giving honor to all the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, I believe it is also helpful to draw attention to, as Paul explains in today's scripture, how being a faithful Christian is also like being a good and faithful soldier. Paul uses this analogy in his second letter to the young disciple Timothy in order to capture the essentials of our Christian faith, or in other words, what it means to be a Christian disciple. Paul is also cautioning the young Timothy in his letters, don't drift away from the truth, and don't forget that the truth is based on the Word of God. It withstands the test of time, irregardless of your circumstances or the circle of people you associate yourself with. And make sure you pass down this truth to the next generation. My friends, just like the young Timothy, we also have a responsibility to pass the truth down to the next generation. In July 2014, America will be 230 years young. If we neglect to understand and share the values that this country was built on, including how faith helps to shape our communities, we will much more easily compromise on issues that also threaten the many freedoms we have come to enjoy. So let's get started. Why does being a Christian invoke the resemblance of a good and faithful soldier? Interestingly, even before Paul gets started with this analogy, he starts by saying, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, if we merely trust in ourselves, we are doomed to fail. We need to understand it's the grace of God that sustains us, and by trusting in God's word. In other words, a soldier for Christ is fueled by God's grace, not by any of his own desires, intellect, or actions alone. The scripture then goes on to say, no one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. We understand that in this context, Paul is saying, keep your eyes on Christ. Don't get so immersed in the things of this world that you lose sight of God. You're fighting the fight not to win favor among men, but to serve and glorify the God who created you. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul also identifies some other traits in making a comparison between a soldier and a Christian and using other analogies. And I'm going to share some of those with you, and some of our veterans probably would agree with some of these additional traits. For example, maintaining singleness of purpose, exhibiting self-control, having good training, working hard and not being lazy, being faithful to the mission, instructing others on the purpose, enduring hardships, pursuing the purpose, and remaining consistent throughout the mission. So now, what if you are both a Christian and a real American soldier? God bless today all the men and women who have served and continue to serve for our country. We have some extraordinary examples of how Christian soldiers dramatically changed the history of our nation. During the American Civil War, there were three brothers that came from a Protestant family known to be strict, religious, and very loving. You may have heard about the Chamberlains, or maybe just Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, who, because of his extraordinary heroism at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and holding his army's position against repeated Confederate attacks on the famous Great Round Top, resulted in the turning point of the Civil War. And most likely, without this victory, Historians claim we would most not likely not have the United States that we know of today, and that has helped to defeat and conquer the evils of the likes of Hitler and others determined to enslave humanity for the sake of their own selfish conquests. What you probably don't know about Joshua Chamberlain is that he graduated from a seminary school in Maine before enlisting in the Union Army. Joshua Chamberlain's youngest brother, Thomas Chamberlain, also enlisted because of religious reasons and fought alongside his brother Joshua, while the third brother, John Chamberlain, an appointed chaplain, visited the regiment at Gettysburg as a member of the U.S. Christian Commission, which was an organization that furnished supplies, medical services, and religious literature to Union troops during the American Civil War. The organization also supplied Protestant chaplains and social workers and collaborated with the U.S. Sanitary Commission in providing medical services to the sick. Now, here's some other interesting information about Colonel Joshua Chamberlain before we move on, who had defeated the Confederates. In 1898, at the age of 70, while still in pain from his military wounds from serving so many years, he volunteered for duty as an officer in the Spanish-American War. Unfortunately, because of his injuries, he was rejected for duty, which he called one of the major disappointments in his life. He died of his lingering wartime wounds in 1914 at Portland, Maine, at the age of 85. He was the last Civil War veteran to die as a result of wounds from the war. Now, the point of this history lesson is that every Christian person can make an extraordinary difference in the lives of others while remaining committed to the characteristics that Paul was talking about concerning being a soldier and a servant for God. Now, because of the likes of these great men and women who have served in the armed forces, we continue to be blessed with many freedoms in America, including our freedom to worship freely as we are doing so today. And although many Christians are not participating in any real physical combat, each of us still fights a battle each and every day. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The battles I'm speaking about is concerning the temptations of the world, of our flesh, and from the enemy, and the difficulties we may be encountering. And our chief enemy is Satan, who would like nothing but for us to easily give up against the fight against our own temptations, or being able to move past something we perceive as impenetrable in our lives, whether it be a sickness, a financial uncertainty, or other personal issue involving our families, our work, and our communities. Now, the good news of the gospel that was shared with us today in 2 Timothy is that if we die with him, we shall also live with him. Can we all repeat that together? If we die with him, we shall also live with him. So what does that actually mean, to die with him? It sounds pretty scary, right? What holds many people back from growing close to the Lord is that they believe that they have given into their temptation so many times, or that something appears so impassable in their lives, they are consumed with shame, or are resolved to embrace the doom of their circumstances. They may have even prayed for their temptation or the difficulty of their circumstances to be removed from themselves to no avail. So what do we do? So today, my friends, I want you to take a different approach that aligns with the truth of the gospel and that will make you a better soldier for Christ. Rather than asking God to remove your cross, allow Christ to be with you to walk you through it. Paul learned God's grace was sufficient for him despite all of his infirmities. we should pray for God to shower us with God's wisdom, courage, strength, faith, hope, peace, and love, rather than merely having our infirmities removed from us. Rather than trying to redirect the rain in our lives, we should ask God, what is this blessing or meaning in our circumstances? And trust that God sees the bigger picture, which ultimately builds our faith and trust in God rather than in our own imperfect abilities. So many people easily give in to temptations because they feel they have no control over it. And in actuality, they really don't if left up to themselves. But growing in a more intimate relationship with Christ and committing to the study of the Word of God exposes the penetrating love and healing grace and mercy of God that provides us with all we need to do in fighting our battles. When at lost, we can simply state, Jesus, I can't fight this alone. You need to help me with this issue. And because you love me, I know that you will. It is with this simple faith in which we conquer great battles. So when we say it is easier to embrace immorality in the world rather than fight the battle, or to live the life you desire to live, irregardless of the consequences on others, or to say you are undergoing too many challenges that you can't seem to bear, I say to you, according to Scripture, you have forgotten the immeasurable gift of the Spirit, and that through the risen Lord we are able to overcome the greatest challenges of our life. As Paul reminds us, believers are united with Christ in his death as a result of Christ putting to death our own sins. And we are also united in Christ in his resurrection with the hope, trust, and assurance we have found in the forgiveness of our sins. Lacking faith is typically exposed as living a life for oneself and not for the Lord. But God's mercy is much greater than we can possibly comprehend. Because even when we are faithless, Scripture says, and we heard it today, God remains faithful. God seeks us out and encourages us to come back home, even if we have strayed so far away, losing one battle after another. Maybe he's reminding you of that this weekend. Jesus is also about forgiveness. Anytime, any place. Scripture says, for Christ to deny us would be contrary to his eternal, faithful nature. We have immeasurable hope in Christ. I would like to conclude by reading a few words from Romans 5:10, which reflects Christ's encouragement when undergoing various trials. It is a song of joy because ultimately all of our battles are won as a result of the faith we have achieved as a soldier in Christ, whom we have modeled ourselves after. Without our battles to claim victory over, we would not know the power of the Almighty God in defeating all of our enemies and how much God does love us. Ultimately, even in our shared communion, we recall the special gift God has given to us, the victory for our souls in Jesus, who is and always be our greatest warrior. The scripture reads as follows. When we are utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. This is the word of the Lord. and please join us in communion.